As we know, the message we send is not always the message that's received. We generally rely on verbal clues to determine whether our message has been understood to our satisfaction. If, however, we're uncertain that it has been received as intended, we need to be able to clearly request a response that tells us how the message was heard, so as to be able to correct any misunderstanding. On some occasions, the simple questions like, "Is that clear?" will do. If the person says yes, we'll feel understood. At other times, we need more than, "Yes, I understand you," to feel confident that we've been truly understood. At such times, we might ask others to reflect back in their own words what they heard us say. We then have the opportunity to restate parts of our message to address any discrepancy or omission we might have noticed in their reflection. For example, a teacher approaches a student and says, "Peter, I got concerned when I checked my record book yesterday. I want to make sure you're aware of the homework I'm missing from you. Will you drop by my office after school?" The student mumbles, "Okay, I know," and then turns away, leaving the teacher uneasy as to whether the message had been accurately received. Should the teacher ask for a reflection, "Could you tell me what you just heard me say?" Peter might reply, "You said I gotta miss soccer to stay after school because you didn't like my homework." This would confirm to the teacher that Peter had not understood the message. The teacher could then restate it. But first, it's important to be careful of how we correct people when they haven't understood us. To correct people, I would suggest not saying things like, "You didn't hear me," or "That's not what I said," or "You're misunderstanding me." This can easily sound to people like they're being chastised for not getting the message clear. If the teacher sees that the student is trying to respond to her request for a reflection, she might say, "Well, I'm grateful to you for telling me what you heard. I can see I didn't make myself as clear as I would like. Let's try again." When we first begin asking others to reflect back what they hear us say, it may feel awkward and strange, because such requests aren't often made. When I emphasize the importance of our ability to ask people to say back what they've heard, people often express reservations. They're worried they're going to get reactions like, "What do you think I am, deaf?" or "Quit playing your psychological games." To prevent such responses, we can explain to people ahead of time why we may sometimes ask them to reflect back our words. We can tell them, "I hope when I do that it doesn't come across that I'm testing you or I think you didn't understand me. It's just that sometimes when I express myself vulnerably, it really is very confirming to have somebody just reflect it back so I can see that I was clear." If we do ask for this, and the listener says, "I heard what you said, I'm not stupid," we have the option to focus on their feelings and needs and to ask either aloud or silently, "Are you saying you're feeling annoyed because you want respect for your ability to understand things?" After we have openly expressed ourselves and received the understanding we want, we're often eager to know the other person's reaction to what we've said. Usually the honesty we would like to receive takes one of three directions. Sometimes we'd like to know the feelings that are stimulated by what we said and the reasons for those feelings. We might request this by asking, "I'd like you to tell me how you feel about what I just said and your reasons for feeling as you do." A second possibility might sound like this. Sometimes we'd like to know something about our listeners' thoughts in response to what they have heard us say. At these times, it's important to specify exactly which thoughts we'd like them to share. For example, we might say, "I'd like you to tell me if you predict that my proposal will be approved of, and if not, what you believe would prevent its being approved of," rather than simply saying, "I'd like you to tell me what you think about my proposal." When we don't specify which thoughts we would like to receive, the other person may respond at great length with thoughts that aren't the ones we're seeking. A third thing might be, sometimes we'd like to know whether the person is willing to take certain actions that would meet our needs. Such a request may sound like this. I'd like you to tell me if you'd be willing to postpone our meeting for 1 week. The use of nonviolent communication requires that we be conscious of the specific form of honesty we want to receive and to make that request for honesty in concrete language. It's especially important when we're addressing a group to be clear about the kind of understanding or honesty we want back from them after we've expressed ourselves. When we're not clear about the request we'd like to receive from what we have said, we may initiate unproductive conversations that end up satisfying no one's needs and taking up a lot of time. I've been invited from time to time to work with groups of citizens concerned about racism in their communities. One issue that frequently arises among these groups is that their meetings are tedious and fruitless. This lack of productivity is very costly for the members, who often expend limited resources to arrange for transportation and childcare in order to attend meetings. Frustrated by prolonged discussions that yield little directions, many members quit the groups, declaring the meetings a waste of time. Furthermore, the institutional changes they're striving to make are not usually ones that occur quickly or easily. For all these reasons, when such groups do meet, it's important that they make good use of their time together. I knew members of one such group that had been organized to effect change in the local school system. It was their belief that various elements in they invited me to discriminate against students on the basis of race. Productive, and the group was losing members, they invited me to observe their discussions and to offer what suggestions I could make as to how to make their meetings more productive. One man began the evening's meeting by telling about an article he had read in the newspaper about a minority parent who raised complaints with the school about the principal's treatment of her daughter. Another woman responded to his mentioning of the article by sharing a situation that occurred to her when she was a student at the same school. One by one, each member then related a similar personal experience. After 20 minutes went by, I asked the group to raise their hand if their needs were being met by the discussion. Not one person raised the hand. "This is what happens all the time in these meetings," one of the men said. "I have better things to do with my time than sit around listening to this stuff." I then addressed the man who had initiated the discussion at the beginning, and I said, "Can you tell me when you brought up the newspaper article what response you were wanting from the group?" He thought for a moment and said, "Well, I thought it was an interesting article." I explained that I was asking what response he wanted from the group, rather than what he thought about the article. He thought again and said, "Well, I'm not too sure what I did want back from the group." And I told him that that's why I believe that 20 minutes of the group's time wasn't used in a way that was meeting anybody's needs. When we address a group without being clear what we're wanting back, unproductive discussions will often follow. However, if even one member of a group is conscious of the importance of making clear requests, that person can extend this consciousness and loan it to the group. For example, when this particular man didn't define what he was wanting back, a member of the group who had this consciousness might have said, "Excuse me, I'm confused about what response you're wanting from us in relation to your story. Would you be willing to say what you would like from us?" If we can help people to be clear like this, it can prevent the waste of precious group time. Conversations often drag on and on, fulfilling no one's needs, because it's unclear whether the initiator of the conversation has gotten what he or she was wanting from the group. In India, when people have received the response they want in conversations, they say, "Bus." This means, "You need not say more. I feel satisfied, and I'm now ready to move on to something else." Though I don't know of any word we use in the English language to say this, we can benefit from developing and promoting boss consciousness in all our interactions. so that when we're finished with what we had to say and don't want anything more, we might just say something like, finished.